Township of McKeller, special meeting of council, budget meeting number 3 of May 16, 2024, to order. Start with roll call.
Counselor Marley Hoskam.
Counselor Nick Ryland.
Treasurer Roshan Khanthia.
Counselor Debbie Zula.
Counselor Mike Hakkinen.
Acting Clerk Administrator Carly Burton.
Mayor David Moore. Any declarations of pecuniary and or personal interest in the general nature thereof? Hearing none, we have resolution 24-298, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKeller does hereby approve the agenda for this special meeting of council as presented. Any discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. In the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land on which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Robinson Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. To honor the suffering of Indigenous people and the love and wisdom they have carried for thousands of years, we pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit, and work towards truth and reconciliation. We have resolution 24-299, moved by Councilor Ryland, second by Councilor Hoskam. Be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKeller is hereby moved into committee of the whole at
2:02 p.m.
for Council to continue the review and discussion of the draft 2024 budget. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Okay, well, Roshan, I guess 15 minutes of fame here, and the meeting's over.
If you can do it in 15 minutes, I'll buy you a beer. So,
no, I just appreciate, again, what you put together here, and I know everything's in a state of flux, figures flying all over the place, but this, I think, is fairly easy to follow, and I'm not saying all of council would agree on all the figures, but I think it's excellent for starting point for discussion. And I guess we're sort of aiming at Tuesday night, May 21st, to look at first and second reading. And then, to, if everything goes well, the public can certainly have input, too, before the June 4th meeting for third reading. So looks like we'll have everything in place a little later than last year, but there are more things, as to say, up in the air right now. So I'll turn it over to you for the summary, I guess, and then we'll get into the nitty-gritty.
Sure. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and the Council. After the second budget meeting, we had a lot of discussion of our budget and the how we can finance our budget and how many projects we can do this year. So after that discussion and other discussion we had with the staff and with the council too regarding the our project, so there are some changes, and overall those changes are mostly in the public works. Remaining in the some of the other departments, but after considering all the changes, I'm still keeping the same interest rate, tax rate, and the same levy, which is $4,163,575.48, and the tax rate is going to be 6.323. If we talk about the budget changes, then on the operating revenue side, we are going to use the $509,630 to balance our budget, and it's money coming out of the surplus. And on the operating expense side, there are multiple changes. So if we talk about our administration department, the legal department, we increased by $5,000 to unseen expenses which we might have in during the year. And then our the professional services and consultant item, it's reduced by the $10,000 because we recently received the RRP against the asset management. Initially, we budgeted $25,000, so I reduced it by $10,000, so now it's $15,000 that item for the asset management. After that, there were some changes in the bylaw section regarding salary and wages. And then we have mostly Public Works Department, and mostly some of them are the salaries and wages. Some more changes in the maintenance side of the trucks because we considering a couple of projects this year, and we would like to go have our assets in very good shape. That's why we increased our maintenance budget to cover the cost. Some of the maintenance budget numbers I have estimated, and some of them I got the quote which is attached with the sub report. After that, there was budget change in the Lake Stewardship Environmental Committee budget. So the budget is now revised from 13,878 to 18,093, based on the their summary. And then I have added the budget item for the fire safety plan. That the quote for that is $3,948, and that's including the community center. And then there's also the adjustment, the salary and benefits on the new hire, the custodian. And also the planning department, the consultant planner fee has been changed by $8,352. And also, based on the recent discussion, previous budget meetings, that we are going to do the hardwell road, so we required the debenture. So we are going to submit an application for $1 million debenture. And then on the capital side, we initially decided to purchase the Ford F-250, our public work department, but then after recent discussion, we decided to go with the 550. The amount is same, it's only the description will change. So instead of 250, now we are going to buy 550. The micro seal cost on the capital side is changed because of the recent RFP submission. The amount is changed based on those RFP numbers. And the remaining cost has been revised based on the RFPs and the discussion with the council. Those costs have been changed. The $1 million we are going to debenture, we are planning to use out of that $530,000 for the Central Road. The remaining $469,500 will be put in the reserve for future use. So at the end of the year, the estimated reserve is $1,691,332. So you can question.
Okay, open to questions, sure. Anybody can jump in there? Councilor Zula.
Okay, Roshan, just back on page 4, when you were saying about the loan from Infrastructure Ontario will increase capital revenue?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you say Hurdville Road?
Yes.
No, Center Road.
It's Center.
Oh, sorry, Center Road.
Yes.
Yeah, Center Road. Yes.
Did you say 550 or 530? I couldn't hear you clearly.
530,000 for the Center Road.
Okay.
It's on the capital's budget.
Yeah.
Thanks, Roshan.
Those are estimated number and might change. And the application for the initial application for the loan has been submitted. The bylaw, which is part of the budget, we need to approve it. It's going to be a part of that application. Once we submit that bylaw, I have to write a treasurer certificate telling that whatever information I'm providing is right and correct. Then the application will be complete. The Ontario Infrastructure already contacted me about the our financial statement previous years, plus our capital budget, plus other items. So I already provided. They already looked at that. So far, seems okay though. And on the North grant, I did talk to the advisor to change the grant from Central Road to the Hardwood.
And the ball field.
Ball field has been approved and extended, so now the new date is October 31st, 2024.
That should give time to, yeah. And that bylaw that you require, that's on the open session later? Excellent summary. I guess I'm always amazed that you know, all the changes we've made, but I guess it's sort of plus and minus to keep the same increase in the tax rate. So that's great that you're able to do that.
And some of the quotes are already attached with the budget draft, and others I'm waiting for. So I just estimated the number, especially for the vehicle maintenance.
Roshan, why the difference between the schedule for reserves on the transfer to on the larger documents?
So that was errors. That's why they revised the that sheet. So.
So the sheet we have today is the accurate one.
Yeah, that's accurate.
This
that,
one.
Yeah, no, the other one.
The other one. Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
That's better news
yeah.
anyway. So okay, good. Thank you. I was just comparing and wondering why I had two, but anyway, now I get it. So.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can we talk about the debenture?
Sure.
So, Roshan, if I'm reading it right, it's for 5 years?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's what my understanding was.
Yeah, no, great.
Yeah.
That's good.
And the with the discussion with the VP of the Infrastructure Ontario, she mentioned that, you know, the once we sign the rate offer, then we cannot back out from the debenture application, and we cannot, if we prepay the amount, then there will be a lot of penalty.
Okay.
So those are two items she specifically mentioned to me, and I did ask her about those two items.
I had one question about it. I'm looking up the definition of work for the township in the actual legislation, the regulation. If it's designated for the road as such, and then you're going to put it in reserve, whatever we don't use, sort of thing, but what can that be used for? Does it have to be the road? You're putting it into the roads.
Yeah, that's
like
where
this.
I'm going to put in construction site,
right.
So that's where the, that's why in previous meeting, if you remember, I specifically talked about the Hardwood Road and 773,000 because the budget for the Hardwood Road was 600,000 and estimated 100,000 extra in case we needed.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I went that route. So, but then in recent discussion, we thought, okay, we go million and we will put in reserve. So my understanding that, you know, if you mention a road in application, my understanding that you end up have to use for that money for that road.
Yeah.
So maybe, since the Center Road is a long road, and maybe next year if you're going to do a project on remaining portion of the Center Road, we can use that one
right
over there.
Okay, no, that makes good sense because
yeah.
we're just doing sort of half of it right
yeah.
now. So. And, you know, Center Road does join Herdville Road,
correct.
So
yeah.
just to do a little name change, and
yeah.
Center continues right through to Herdville.
Yeah.
won't go that far.
We'll just rename the road.
Yeah. That sounds good. Do you want to go through the individual sheets? I don't know. I have a couple of little questions, but nothing major. But, so, if you want to do that, just reference the page number if you have anything. I guess the one, maybe just to start us off, it's sort of on the summary, and I'm sure it's detailed more in another section, but for environmental, this is the sheet we got today.
Yeah.
Environmental, and looking at the figure. Expenditure $246,913. What does that entail? Just off the top of your head, I don't know. I know it's outlined in more detail later in the budget, but is there anything that comes to mind?
No, I can tell you right now on the sheet. Yeah, it's so that includes the waste management expenditure, waste collection and disposal. And environmental community expenditure.
Okay, that adds up pretty quickly. Yeah.
new number is right there on the page number 18 for the environmental committee budget, so.
18?
Yeah. I tried to highlight the changes, so.
Well, that was good. I actually can see that.
Yeah.
You look across, it's you can actually see that there's a darker line there, which is good, so it highlights it. Sure, go ahead.
So does the Lake Stewardship Committee, are they doing the water testing or is it MLCA?
Both.
Like, it was split up before, right? MLCA paid, so how is it working out?
I think it's one quarter for MLCA and three quarters for the township, although I could be wrong on that. I do have that in my paperwork for the committee, but I don't have that paperwork here. That's just a recollection of when we were talking in the committee about the budgets anyhow. And I think MLCA is paying, I could be wrong, but the split was agreed to anyhow, including with MLCA at that time. So, but most of the volunteers are actually MLCA members and therefore, I mean, they don't cost us anything. They do the water testing, but not the analysis or anything like that. So.
So just what I'm wondering is, will we be getting an invoice from MLCA?
Did we last year? Do you remember?
I think Tony Best pays the invoices and then submit to us.
To us.
Yeah,
okay.
And then we pay the invoices.
Yeah, I think I remember that now too. Exactly that, is that they pay the whole thing and then bill us for the residual.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Tony Best as the MLCA or Tony Best as the Environmental Committee?
No, Tony Best as the treasurer of the MLCA, right?
Okay.
That's his role that I understand that he's playing in that function, but it's all supported by invoices and everything else anyhow. So
the MLCA will be sending an invoice to the township for the water testing?
Yes, and I think that's consistent with last year and or possibly previous years too. I'm not sure of that part, but...
So there's not a separate line then on here for the MLCA?
No.
I think that I think that there should be, because even at last year's MLCA annual general meeting, there was no mention that the municipality is paying for the water testing.
Mm-hmm.
It all was seemed to be directed to the environmental committee. There was no recognition that council is actually paying for the portion of the water testing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it needs to be demarcated someplace, and particularly in the budget, to show that it is the township council that's paying for it.
Well, we can show the gross and then the recovery and then the difference, right?
And then people can see, the change.
It's more transparent. So,
the change over the years and how much the municipality is allocating, for water testing.
Yeah.
I thought in the past there was a separate fund for the MLCA.
You can look back at old budgets and see what it's
called. They used to be, when they purchased some equipment, they had to get new equipment.
Yes.
Expenditure on behalf of the township for that.
Yeah.
I think that was even pre-budget. They needed it, so I think it was maybe in the fall where they purchased or gave money for that. But yeah, the actual water testing, I don't know how that's been going on. I agree with Councilor Beckman that it should be acknowledged somewhere. If they're not going to mention it at the annual meeting, then it should be in the paperwork.
So do you know?
Well, if I'm right, Debbie, I mean, if I'm looking at page 19 at the top of that page, I mean, there is an MLCA line there, and the total environmental expenditures down below, I mean, it shows that.
Oh, I see.
Am I right, Roshan, if I interpret this line, that the $7,250 is
correct.
Pay to MLCA? Is that...
Those are for the E. coli sampling, phosphorus,
right,
and calcium, and
I know there's four different tests, anyhow.
So that's the water testing?
Yes.
So
no, unless you think otherwise, unless it's for something else.
2024. So.
Next pages, I'm sure of that, but anyhow.
So the, or the, Lake Stewardship Environmental Committee, their total budget is $18,000.
$93, yeah.
$93.
Yeah, so if you turn further down in the package that Roshan gave us, although it's not a numbered page, it's oriented this way, and you can see the details of that budget there, and there's the four different water tests that are here, so. At the top of that page, right? And it's probably 8 or 10 pages after the end of the budget document, something like that.
So that $11,250 is divided in two parts. One is $7,250, which include the E. coli sampling, phosphorus, and microsystem, system, and that's on the page 19, the cost line.
Right.
And then $4,000 for the benthic sites. That's on the page 18, Georgian Bay Biosphere Search. Last line.
Yes.
So my question, I'm just wondering, did the Lake Stewardship budget go up to the $18,000 because this $7,200 was added to it?
Not to my knowledge, no. No, I mean, we discussed, the committee discussed this budget at least 2 months ago.
So almost like two, at least by the paperwork, two totally different things. Yeah. Natural Wyoming Lake Association, that $7,250 is we're basically paying for the water test then, eh?
Correct.
So that's just totally separate. That's not included or anything in the committee budget, eh?
No, no. The committee budget is $6,843, which is very first line on page 18, Lake Stewardship Committee expense,
yeah.
$6,843.
There's that one up there, right? So you should have a piece of paper like this? Yeah, you got it, Mike, there. Yeah, okay.
You okay with that then?
So it does look like it is separated out, given on page 19.
Without, yeah, I'm not 100% sure that's what it is, and probably, I mean, we could get the straightest answer and the quickest answer probably from Tony on that, because he would know, so.
Well, maybe this question for Carly on page 2. The IT support, and above the, well, I guess office would ask, different, but I'm wondering where we're sitting with the IT, because I thought we had a resolution somewhere that somebody's going to do an inventory of what we have.
We do, so they put proxies on all of our equipment, so they're monitoring the township's IT infrastructure currently, so they want to do it for at least 3 weeks, they're hoping 4, and then the company will come back to council with a report in closed session as the information collected within those proxies are sensitive. And then council can make a decision as to if they want to move forward with that particular vendor or our existing one or a different one that had submitted through the RFP.
Okay. And I just wondering if Roshan included some of the potential costs there for
so
that?
So out of that $70,000,
I see the $70,000.
$25,000 for the, if we buy a new software or change our software from the whatever currently we have because of the issues we are having. $25,000 was budgeted for that. And even $10,000 budgeted for the, you know, if you hire the new consultant, you know.
Right.
That's extra money for that. So $35,000 increase from the previous budget, that's a total.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that things were working and recovered for it. Yeah.
Just a question, Roshan. Did you allow for software for the Treasury Department?
Yeah, yeah. That's where I put the $25,000 and $70,000 budget information technology.
So that's in there for you?
Yeah.
To get updated?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if that will be enough or not, but then I just put the $25,000 for there.
While we're talking about this, I'm aware that the PC that Jan Gibson uses and the PC that Rob Morrison uses are their own. And I mean, from a security perspective, I'm not clear on exactly how they access, you know, the township's network and things, but I mean, it is a risk. And I think we should be sure that we are having a professional evaluation of their access points and things, so.
That is occurring with this network assessment.
Is it? Okay.
Yes, yep.
Okay, and I don't know if there's anybody else that has a laptop that works for the township?
No, it would just be Rodney and James Gibson.
Okay, so they're doing that, the proxy thing right now for them as well?
Yes, I think
good.
We're about week two, so
okay.
About two more weeks, and then they'll have all the data they need to put a report together.
Okay. Good, because that's critical for sure. So that's the, you know, the weakest point in the chain is the one that's the problem.
We've done site visits to the fire hall, the roads department, and then this building with that contractor as well. So now we're just kind of in a waiting period because they need to collect the data.
Okay. And does the former director of operations, is his laptop a township laptop?
It is, and it's here being used by another employee.
Okay. So that's being using a proxy server or proxy on
correct.
There too?
Yes.
Okay, good. So there isn't any wild cards out there.
No.
Okay, good. Good to know.
I'm just wondering if we have any, I'm jumping up to page 18 again, further information on the scrap metal revenue. I see you put it back up to 8,500, but it looks like we only got $900 last
mm-hmm.
year. Is it in any communication with the hauler that they're actually going to start doing invoices and do a better job, or?
No, not that I know yet. Maybe we look in, you know, once we have permanent stock, then we will look into that.
Yeah. I just wonder if that's, you know, money that we won't get because
right.
based on last year's figures.
Mm-hmm.
So basically that last year check, we did get it this year.
Yeah.
So we got it this year in April, around April, so.
The 900?
No, the 8,000 something. We
oh,
budgeted
okay.
last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're looking at the 2023 call for the 900.
Yeah, so the
right.
actual
yeah.
is lower
yeah.
because that's when we started budget, but we got it in the balance.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
I'm not sure why they don't do that on a monthly basis, and I think we should put it out as well, you know, to see expressions of interest, you know, with our previous contractor that was doing it as well, and to see, compare what
sure.
the options are.
And I think their contract is up for renewal, my understanding.
So that would be good to look into for
yeah.
this year,
and it probably should say that, you know, we need to have invoices monthly or whatever, right? In that expression of interest,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So how was it done previously? Was it AOR issued or
yes?
Okay.
Yes. And it makes, you know, it was legit. You know, the truck left their yard, was weighed, it was empty.
Right.
Came back with a bin, was weighed, and then a bin was emptied, and then it was weighed. So you see the scale tickets.
Yeah, you need to have that.
You know, someone guessing at, you know, giving you a number, well, we'll think we'll give you X amount of dollars this year.
And that's what happens because I only get the check, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get any backup or anything. So by next year, I will see that this year is a check. That's
no,
it.
That's no good.
There was a major fraud going on, not involved with our township, but with a company that I know through family, where they were simply pocketing the money, getting paid in cash for scrap metal. And it resulted in senior people being let go. So and there's a hell of a story sometime when we're not here. I can tell you the gory details. But so every time I see this, I wonder if this is simply how the whole scrap metal business operates,
mm-hmm.
right? So.
No, we would get some monthly reports previously that would say, you know, have the scale tickets, and there was no one guessing, you know, what the numbers were.
Well, also on 18, this is down near the bottom, I see waste hauling contract. It's 08301122. It looks like it's reduced 25%, which waste hauling was that one. I'm always amazed when the hauling contract is reduced. So.
It's because we are moving to the new contract.
Okay.
That's why.
Circular materials?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I,
so
I want,
July
yeah.
1st, we won't be
right.
Paying the hauling costs for recycling.
That's all figured out. It's quite complicated.
Yep.
So it's not separated out? Like the waste hauling, you would expect that would just be the household waste going to McDougall.
Mm.
And this recycling contract would be included in that line of the budget?
So two separate lines.
Two separate
there's,
lines.
There's two separate lines. So
yeah.
What it's so why would the hauling part of the recycling line item in the contract be somehow incorporated into the waste hauling contract? Because we, and then we have the waste tipping fees. So that's what we're paying for at the scale at McDougall.
Mm.
Then the hauling part of it is,
well, there's waste hauling and up above it is the recycling contract. I'm curious about that as well. In other words, $18,005, which is half of what it was of our expenditure in 2023, right?
So that, yeah, so that's reflecting the changes
in both those lines,
yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay. So collectively we're seeing a benefit of $23,000, something close to that anyway.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's positive news.
Except for the contaminated
well,
bins that go over, he might not see an increase.
I know. Assuming that there's realistic work that's going on to provide information to us, but yes.
So, Roshan, also on that page 18, under monitoring program, is that Azimuth?
Yes.
So I thought we were done.
No, they haven't. I did email last year in December, and they said, they are going to submit the landfill report to the Ministry of Environment.
Okay.
And they make a decision that, that landfill is okay. They haven't made any decision.
Okay.
That's why we are still.
Okay. But I thought it was for 20 years.
Yeah, it's almost 20 years.
Okay.
I think, yeah.
Okay.
But there was something that came through saying that it won't be yearly then. Every so often, it wouldn't be as often as they used to do it. So they are reducing the number of times they're going to check it. But they're still checking, and I think that's because of the MOE wanting it done.
Okay.
So once they confirm it, then they will let us know.
So you've set aside 2,500,
yeah.
Right?
So with the, I'm still looking at the waste hauling contract, so do you anticipate that to go down? Like, that's the garbage part of our hauling.
Yeah, that's what I anticipate with the when director of operation was here, and we anticipate that it would go down.
Right.
And that's where the new agreement will kick in from July to haul the
But that's covered in the recycling contract. And then if you look at the top, there's the WDO Blue Box grant.
Right.
And that's is expected to be $27,186. So that's separate. And I'm concerned that there's not going to be enough in the waste hauling section, that someone may have misunderstood and put something in the wrong line item here.
Okay.
If anything, costs increased.
Yeah, and fuel prices haven't been going down.
No.
And a lot of the hauling contracts are based on fuel prices.
Even though if you look at the 2023 actual number and the budget item for 2023 budgeted 30,000, actually it came out 26,000.
Yeah, so
it went down by 4,000.
Yeah, so fuel prices, let's see, so.
So.
I think they were higher.
They were, they could be, yeah.
So we probably should be budgeting 30,000, is that, rather than 22.5, is that what you're suggesting, something to that effect?
I'm thinking just that seems to be the average, the actuals 2021, 30,652. Actuals 2023, 31,000. Actuals 2023, 26,385. So it's always been around the 30,000.
Mm-hmm. It'd be a bonus if it's on a downward trend. It looks like it is, but I'm not sure if it'll go that low. From 26 down to 22.
Possibly, Roshan, I mean, just a question for you. Maybe we should separate out recycling all the time from other waste. In other words, if there is a mix of hauling contract costs in there of both recycling and regular waste, given that we have a recycling contract on 301-121, it would seem to me to maybe make to pull out, if indeed they are mixed, pull them out and put recycling hauling on a different line, right? And I know it would add to the same. I'm not arguing that. It's just that it might make it clearer for us. And with the stuff that's coming with the CMO contract, it would be curious to see if there's any change on those things. There is an expected change, but I don't think we know that. But
I think they are separated out here.
So you don't think that the waste hauling contract, so 122, is a mixed recycling and waste? Right in the middle of that group. In other words, the 18,500 in the right-hand column, is that just a mix of, or is it a mix of both recycling, hauling, and waste hauling?
Probably just waste hauling contract.
Okay.
It's just for hauling waste.
That's the way I'd read it too, but not
okay.
Recycling.
Okay, well, if it is, it's okay. I'm just thinking that otherwise it would be useful to separate them and have two lines. But if it is, if it's already separated, then that's fine. Obviously, I don't know that. I don't see that. But and what about scrap? Are we paying for the hauling on that too, or is that included in here in the scrap metal contract? Sorry, guys, I'm just looking at it and just thinking about it, that's all. I mean,
well, we wouldn't pay for hauling for the scrap because that's where they make their money, they do it. That
okay.
Should be in the price.
Well, actually,
what they pay us.
It seems like here, $3,500 in expense every 2 years. So are we paying out that expense, $3,500? This is 119.
Yeah.
And if you look at that, there was no expense even though we budgeted.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So that's why we moved it this year because, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yes. So that does work out that way.
Okay.
Jump way over to the last. Is that 22 or 3? 27. Just out of interest, the Chamber of Commerce donation at the top, did that come out of, or did we even give it? I don't know. I thought we had, but maybe it came out of a donation rather than a separate line item. Because I thought we had agreed to.
Yeah.
Page 26.
Yeah, top of the page. Second line down.
I got 27.
I don't know what I was looking at, but
it may be out of the other donation section.
So the
reason I'm asking on that one is because we just got an email from CBDC as well, looking for some money, and I wasn't sure if that had been incorporated. It wasn't a great amount. I think they were looking for 500.
I believe that one was included as well.
In the other category.
Yeah, because there's two lines there, donations and then discretionary donations. And all of the donations that we've received requests for have been put into those line items, so I see where you mean about the Chamber of Commerce specific one.
Right.
I don't think that item's been used for a couple
no.
of years, but it's coming out of the donation one.
Okay, good. So they did get a donation,
mm-hmm.
or they're going to?
Yes.
Okay. Good. And just below that, too, we also had correspondence on, and maybe it's the time lapse here, I don't know, on the McKellar Market vendor fees, $12,000, and we've been told that it's $18,000, so I'm not sure if there's a time
first
problem there.
First of all, it's, you know, the timing.
Yeah.
Second is that, you know, those are the actual number. Normally, you know, we budget and always actual can be higher and lower.
Right.
So if, you know, market manager, we can change the next year budget, you know, to 18. You know, we already budgeted 12 and we had it from January, same number.
Yeah, I think that the argument is that there's been negative feedback that it's not revenue neutral sort of thing, and that she's bringing in more revenue than it indicates here. Like she's getting more vendors and she's charging more, she's doing all of this. So her argument is that even if you leave this now, it's really not an accurate figure for 2024. Because I know it's a budget sort of thing, but to make her look better, that certainly what she's doing should better reflect on what she's actually doing. Rather than 12,000, maybe that's an outdated figure. Should we raise that as far as revenue?
I think that's fair. You know, particularly because those are the numbers, current numbers. No, I to raise it to what
right.
what she has submitted to reflect, you know, the you know, the success of the market.
Yeah. Well, yeah, is it, and I think it's common sense. If it's money that we've already received, then it's money we've already. It's not conjecture. It is a number, right? I think we should change it too. So.
And it can be a real win-win because then we can that extra revenue. You can take that extra 6,000 or whatever. And to keep our bottom line the same, switch it over to the waste hauling. We were just struggling with. Well, on paperwork.
Not sure if you'd be happy with that. But.
No, that's just strictly to keep our tax rate.
Oh, I see, yeah.
We've taken in that extra 6,000 in revenue, so now we can afford somewhere in this budget take add
well,
in.
I'm sure you'll find a spot, yeah.
There'll be other spots, but I just that's an opportunity.
And if it's an actual, so why not, right? And there'll be some more. I know that she always keeps some spots in reserve, especially for the later markets, the Thanksgiving and the Christmas market. So there'll be more revenue than that. And again, if we've already received it, it's a fact. Why should we should change it? So, right? Jen has told me in the past that when the original, I don't know if it technically was a business case, was done, that there was never an expectation that it would be, you know, a net profit maker for us. So, but I mean, this is certainly closing the gap quite nicely. So, right.
Any other questions on the more detailed section?
A couple of questions. So, the page 3 of the proposed capital budget.
Oh, we're on capital now?
Oh, okay. No. Okay.
No, it's okay. I'm ready to go to capital too.
Okay, I'll stick to. So anyways, page 5 in the operating, and then it has the emergency planning budget.
Whereabouts is that, Mike?
So
oh, at the very bottom. Yeah,
right
okay.
At the bottom.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, let me see, we've been allocating some proposed $4,500, 2024, actuals 2023, $4,500, actuals 2022, $2,500. Just wondering, because I'm looking at the reserves and I don't see an emergency planning reserve where this money is accumulating.
So on the emergency planning reserve in fire department is 1868.
So that doesn't seem to add up, though.
So the 4,500 actually, whatever the, if you remember Mike last year and the fire chief came here and he wanted to buy some of the equipment, he wanted to transfer some of the reserves, whatever the balance is in that. So at that time, whatever the balance left in the emergency management, transfer in the reserve account, so that's how it become 4,500. So actually, he already used some of the amounts, and whatever the remaining balance was transferred into the 1816 into the emergency reserve account.
So money was drawn out of the emergency.
Yeah, yeah. Some of the money was drawn, and the remaining balance was transferred here.
Okay.
You want to jump to the capital then? These pages are all number two, thank you. I want to get a start on page three for Herdville Road. We don't have anything in there for consulting. Like we do on center.
Yeah.
And I know we don't necessarily have a figure, but.
No, I didn't put it because I didn't see anything in the amounts.
Right.
The,
yeah, there's nothing.
The,
but
yeah, there was no specific mention about the Hartville, you know.
No,
so
but
that's
he is going to come back to us. He is going to come back, I think.
And the way. I've been told that, you know, the if we give a contract to somebody, then we might give it to them prep work, so that whole the figure might change.
Yeah.
So that's why I didn't, you know, estimate any number, because I don't know what
mm-hmm.
would be the new number would be.
Yeah, it's just if we actually do end up proceeding this fall, we certainly need to budget for it. But
yeah, and that's why I'm planning, because there's so many factors which I don't know where those are estimated.
Right.
Over. So obviously it may be a second quarter in summer I will bring back the amendment to the budget to get the real numbers.
Right, okay, that
yeah.
makes sense.
So on that same page, at the bottom of the ball diamond.
Yeah.
And so total $240,919. So how much of that is funded? This is a NOHFC
yeah.
grant?
Yeah.
Where is that NOHFC grant in here?
It's on the page one.
So the 181,
which is 90% up to 200,
yeah.
sort of thing, yeah.
I have a concern that I don't know. We probably haven't got any prices yet, have we, on the actual, say, the fencing, like the backstop and all that. So my concern is it's that we may, to complete it, we may blow past this bottom line figure.
You really think I haven't priced anything out? So
no, neither have I, but I just know it's expensive.
So how much is being expensed so far on that project? Approximately.
Just time. Oh no, I guess.
The blasting was done this
yeah.
year.
Yeah.
I think 40,000 something for the blasting.
Somewhere.
And there was last year study was done. That was around 10,000-12,000 those, that amount.
The study?
Yeah. You know, the engineering report and plus all the designs and the work permit, all those kind of. So I'm thinking around 17,000 that amount plus 40,000. So you're looking at least 60,000 so far we spent it.
And then the excavator that was rented?
Yeah, that was rented for 12,000.
I'm just wondering what's going to happen if that does happen. Well, I guess we'll.
Well, we've been trying to stop here.
Yeah, transport it over.
I remember when they built that. I don't know if it could be moved or not.
Right.
Whether they need any regulations now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just a concern going forward. I guess we'll just have to deal with it. If something figure comes in, then
that's what I'm going to do. Once I get the real figures, then I can do the amendment.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's just estimated number, and I know that once we have proper project manager who can look after the those projects,
yeah,
then we will be able to put the right amount against each project.
Yeah, because it'd be three or four RFPs that they talked about, so it'd be for the actual topsoil, since they could think there's enough in the township to do it, so they have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And also the concrete of the road, the backstop, as you say, and the fencing, so there'd be separate RFPs, so
mm-hmm.
it could all be adjusted.
So yeah, so we would need to have some idea where that extra funding is coming from.
Well, hopefully it won't be extra funding, it'll be within the grant, but we'll see.
Yeah, okay.
Just one question, Roshan.
Sure.
I can't see it in here, but I was told that there is a reserve fund for Belvedere. When the township was paid back money, that there was supposedly $80,000 put in a reserve. Remember that from the last meeting, Carly?
Yeah, I didn't mention it to Roshan.
Did it just go under health?
Oh, that's healthcare.
It's under healthcare.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
I think we've probably talked about it before too, but this REDAC reserve, is that just money to be moved around, or is it, wherever, as you say, if costs go up on the ball field? I know they're having some kind of meeting coming up with the Westbury Sound Collaborative, but we're not part of it, neither is Sequin. And I know that sort of evolved from the REDAP. So I'm just wondering about, is that something that can be moved around rather than just kept in that position? That's something you could do, I guess. Not that we do it right now, but.
I don't know the background of it, so if council's okay, I can move around. I can put in another reserve.
If we need it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
If it comes to a point where we need it for.
Yeah, if we're into a jam, say with the ball field or whatever, something's really jig away here. And
I just wondered about the actual title. Should we be getting rid of that title? Because often when it's designated for that, that's what, of course, you can't use it for REDAC now. It doesn't exist. But
mm-hmm.
So maybe we should change the actual nomenclature somehow.
So
economic development in McKellar?
But back to the healthcare reserve,
right.
Maybe you could just check on that, because in 2018, the healthcare reserve was at $60,000.
Okay.
So I don't think that $80,000 went into the healthcare reserve. The money that was, I think $30,000 went to the Whitestone Nursing Station?
Yes, that's what I was told.
And
so there probably should be $40,000 in there or something.
So I think we should try to get some accounting of what from the Belvedere actually went into healthcare reserve, because if it was already
so he was $47,000 in 2022.
Well, that's what they said. There was $80,000, and I believe they said $30,000 went to Whitestone for the nursing station. But I wasn't sure if he was talking about Whitestone donating some money to them, or he was talking about
McKellar
donated also.
Did we ever end up donating?
I don't know.
Because we were going to donate quite a bit, and then we backed down.
We're going to do 60, I think, and end up doing 30.
We
did
30, yes.
He didn't do the other 30.
No. I think,
yeah.
The discussion was, because certain other municipalities weren't putting in very much at all either.
Oh,
the
one, you mean?
Yeah,
I think that was the idea at the time. Whoever was using it should probably contribute, but
mm-hmm.
anyway.
I guess they did okay.
So there's actually not 88 there then?
No, that's the actual number, but then I have to look and see how we got the 88, because, you know, 30,000 paid out of that reserve, and we did got the credit from the Belvedere back in 2022 or 2021. I don't know
the exact
amount. Yeah. So there will be in and out, so whatever the balance left, that's the 88,000, but I will look into the detail top of my head. I don't remember the actual number now.
Okay. I'm just thinking of if in the future,
so
if
you need to draw
the campus
there
of care, you know, and if they're going to add the extra
beds, yeah,
and they're saying that we don't, it will be at no cost to the municipality, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
there's always extras, so
yeah.
You wonder.
Now, is it?
See here, yeah. So in 2021, we got the credit for 47,399. So if in 2020, 60,000, 47 minus 30, 70,000, 70,000 plus 60, 77 plus some other amount, so roughly, I'm guessing.
88?
Okay, sounds good.
It all adds up.
Sounds good.
And do we know where we are? I know it's all confidential, I guess, but the high-speed internet, we're putting money aside for that, but is it Cogeco, or I guess Bell is doing the broadband area currently, and Cogeco is doing the 124?
Yeah.
But we haven't heard anything.
No, it's through provincial funding as well, so we might get an update tomorrow, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are one more item I was going to ask about the internet, that now we have, we've
right.
paid three companies for internet, so are we going to, are we keeping it same, or are we, you know?
Well, my own question on it is, it was always kept as a backup sort of thing.
Correct.
But how easy is it to switch? You would know maybe. If we're on Starlink, can you switch then to VIAnet if Starlink goes down?
I think it's an automatic switch, so it's not something that we
oh.
manually do.
Okay.
It's in the background, but through this network assessment, it should show connectivity issues as well, so hopefully those will be rectified,
yeah.
not needing to have a backup.
Okay. No, that's right. That's a saving there, certainly.
Yeah.
Although the garage, it's on ExploreNet, is it? It's a different one altogether?
Yeah.
And so it can't be hooked up with the Starlink, or it could, but not cheaply, I guess.
We would need another dish.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, you need the whole hardware package, which, from memory, is... Well, if we could buy residential and put it there, which would be $600, give or take, right? But we have the commercial one here, which I think we pay something like $3,600 for. Well, and they keep changing the name of their packages, but when we bought it, it was called the business one, right? And residential is what everybody knows it is, but because I paid something like $600 for mine 2.5 years ago for all the hardware, right? And then I pay $158.20 per month for the service, but.
Yeah, but I'm wondering what Minerva Park, too, that's that coming off the garage one? That's ExploreNet, too?
Yes.
Okay. So if we get rid of the other two, VIAnet and ExploreNet, we're cutting out the service to, well, certain ExploreNet. The park
only
wouldn't
the,
have service. Then.
Right now here we have a two, right?
Right.
So if you cut one, then we can keep one.
Right.
You know, if the Starlink is working for us, then we don't need the VIAnet.
Right. Yeah, no, that makes sense. And what's it, $1,700 a month or $700? I can't remember.
$700 per month, yeah.
$700
for the Starlink, yeah.
No, I'm thinking of the what we do for the VIAnet, what their charge is. I remember a $1,700 figure, but I don't know if that's...
VIAnet, I think around $100.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's not a great amount to keep a second backup.
No, but...
I know what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until we get the update regarding Cogeco or Bell, and then we can make some decisions at that time.
Because I think you had some concerns with Starlink on certain days too.
Yes, but then there's also, I think this net worth assessment will also show the connectivity issues we have just with where the dish was placed, how it's coming into the building. I think we need to do a couple more steps before.
Okay.
Starlink is working and it could work better for us, and this assessment will show us how, hopefully.
Okay. So I guess we better just leave things for now, is that? I know you're trying to find more money.
The package for Starlink could be changed. We can look at our data to see where we're hitting, and then we can come down to a lower package that will cut some costs for sure.
If it still gives the same service at lower cost, that's great.
Library have a separate internet, right?
No, they're off to ours, right? They're off Starlink.
Library?
Right, yes.
Because they used to be on
VNet.
VNet, separate, because I saw it on the check run report all the time. And we're not, it's not there anymore. It doesn't make any sense for it to be there either. There might actually be a way. I have heard people tell me there would be a way to run public works off our Starlink installation here, but it got real complicated real fast.
And the contractor doing the assessment also has ideas for the works garage in Minerva Park, so that's to come.
Sure. So.
So previously the library was paying VNet out of their own account?
That's my understanding, but
that's what they were paying.
Yeah.
They were paying their own, But then when we hooked up Starlink, Starlink would have included the library.
Right, that was the bonus that we provided for the library.
So has there been a reduction in the library budget then of that amount?
Probably an increase. I think they wanted more. It doesn't work like it should work.
That's a good little dream for a second, though.
You said it, it's on the record.
On the capital side, I put the two new items for the capital public work garage on page 4, furnace and water tank. Furnace is the estimated number. I'm not sure what would be, but then water tank, I attached the quote for the water tank. So.
Now, was that ever clarified, or is it being looked into what type of furnace? I know that came up with the oil or propane. No? Okay, somebody should be looking at that, I think. Because you mentioned they have to change all the internal workings too if they go.
I thought that's what Ina said, that she was advised that, no, don't switch to propane because you got to replace everything and it'd be less costly to stay with the oil. But I think we're going to have to look at both options. Like, have something on paper that proves that.
I agree. That's the best way to do it.
And the
put it in writing.
And the capital water tank is the tank that goes in the back of the truck?
Yeah.
And what size is that, do you know?
Sorry?
What size, what volume?
It's in the...
Yeah, I couldn't find an actual volume. I've seen the...
It's in our pack.
Yeah, I
don't know. It's in the number, the series number.
You were concerned
about it. 1,300.
You were concerned about the 900 or something, was it?
But it was only a little 1,000 liter?
Yeah. Chance thinking it's 1,300
gallons.
Number it says here, I'm guessing 1,300.
Because I did Google this number today just to see if I could see how many gallons, but that doesn't seem 1,309 DW. Yeah, that's the one I looked at.
Did Ward or anybody have any input on that provision?
Yes. Yeah.
And sort of thought that was sufficient?
Yeah, this is what they're requesting.
Did we happen to hear when the grader's coming back?
Another week at least.
Just a question. In our reserve, the very bottom line, the investment in asset management.
Yeah.
I see that we're says there were putting $56,000 as per budget
right.
into that reserve. Is that I know it's I didn't quite catch it in our other budget. Is that what expenditures would be coming out of that amount? What were they for?
Page number very last page of operating budget 27. The very last line. Investment in infrastructure as per asset management plan,
oh,
for
yeah.
operating expense into 1.35%.
This is what was recommended?
Yeah.
Because there are big expenses coming, certainly. And you have to put it somewhere and gradually build for those.
Yes, that's good. So you, so we're actually allocating.
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay.
Good.
And I guess if we do get a quote and somebody can install the pigeon netting over here that we can, if we decide we could just draw it out of the recreation reserve then?
Yeah.
If it's, okay.
Well, that is a good question. Is somebody actually investigating? Because I noticed they were cleaning up the roads crew and it looked quite clean a couple nights ago. But I don't know if it'll stay that way.
So. Yeah, speaking with a pickleball person yesterday, just after they finished playing and the one fellow was real happy
yeah.
with the condition it is right now.
That's all Scott. He's taking initiative and in making sure it's clean for the pickleball players. I contacted Carling and the town. The town is looking to do an RFP for theirs because what they have isn't working, I guess. And Carling just took snow netting and put it around their community center. They didn't actually have somebody come do it. So I've started a draft of an RFP. Tom Stone is just looking over it now, so we hope to have it released soon. It's pretty broad, and we're going to have to do some research into who to send it to. So we're probably going to be hitting a pretty wide area, but it's in the works, so we should have it out next week.
Yeah, I've kind of informed the ones that seem concerned over it. Yeah, things don't happen overnight. That, like I said, this could at least we might have it in place for next year. You know.
Yeah.
That's good. And they're okay with that. They just hit the ball a little hard.
Yeah. Well, if Scott's doing a wonderful job over there, well, that'll...
Well, that's excellent. If he's doing that like he does with the flooding of the rink, I mean,
yeah.
he takes that on then with that.
Yeah, he always does a good job on those things. So,
yeah.
But it would free up a lot of time for him next year if we had the netting in place. So, yeah, there'd be a saving back in the long run. Okay, so that's good. But we'll just pull it from rec reserve, as long as it's not more than $50,000.
So I was just looking at, I don't know, you might know the figure, with the fire department, they're up just generally, was it 20-some percent? And a lot of it was equipment and training and that sort of thing, but because I know we had a difficult decision to make, whether with the roads or fire, and there's some things that fire wanted that we just couldn't provide this year, and but I think that they're still doing all right. I mean, as far as I think it was 20-some percent increase over the last year's budget, so.
And especially they were asking for the truck, which we
right.
moved at this budget, but they still have couple of items in painting and the portable radios, the radio power maintenance.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and that scuba equipment too. I think that's
yeah.
not cheap. So.
And that's what we are going to put in the reserve for $25,000. So here, yeah, we are SCBA ordering. To replace in 2028, we are going to put in 25,000 into the road.
And there's quite a bit there too for a vehicle, right?
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah, 50,000 we are transferring this year, so the their balance will be this transfer will be 127,041.
In their reserve?
In your vehicle reserve.
In fire?
Yeah, probably fire.
Well, I know, and Whitestone is wrestling too with the new vehicle, and they were talking 600,000.
Yeah, 600,000. And they're going to adventure, I think.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about Center Road. Once the pavement is done, is there going to be a quote or RFP sent out for line painting? Because they find that the line painting is pretty crucial after the paving of the road.
That's a good point, because I mean before it was just done sort of spot on certain corners and hills, but I think with new pavement certainly, yeah, it'd be good to be able to differentiate. Hopefully people stay on the right side,
especially at night.
Yeah,
that's what
they
say, is it's when it's so dark like that, then it's hard to tell.
Could we pass that along to Ward maybe and see what his thoughts were on it? Or is that something that could certainly, who knows? I mean, the money put aside for Center Road, that could be part of the project, so you don't necessarily need another line item. It would come out of that, well, the debentures for Center Road, so there might be money there.
Just to make sure that that is part of the project.
Yeah.
Now, are you talking the outer edges, Mike, more so than the center line?
I think we'll get the engineer to make that.
Yeah.
Call.
Yeah, because it could be regulations, you never know.
Right.
Kind of thing, but the outer lines would be nice, but...
I think that's where the project manager once look at that the road, and the he will recommend what things we need to do and you know how we are going to do it. That's where the project manager will be helpful for us.
Excellent, yeah, because it'd be good to know where the bike lane is going. On
that. In the ditch.
Yeah, no extra width on that road at all. It would have been nice to at least have an extra foot of shoulder. You know, paved shoulder, but that's not even realistic.
And then just thinking Tate's Island Road, so it's been a couple of years now that we resurfaced that road, did a double surface treatment.
Yeah.
So normally to extend the life of the road, then we do like a slurry seal or micro seal, just so that doesn't get lost in the shuffle as well.
Like a next
so
year.
So, Tate's Island was never micro sealed? I thought it was.
Last year. Wasn't a portion
part
done
of
last year?
I thought so.
Part of it, so then the other portion.
Okay.
Yeah, it's something like Balsam, I guess. It would be more done on Balsam, but then it was transferred over to Broadbent for somebody wanted it done over there, so.
Well, exactly the way it was structured. It does extend the life of it. Particularly, Broadbent Road was holding out very well until this winter.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some sections where you just wonder what happened. It just blew apart. So this will help extend the, you know, preventing any further of the breaking apart of the road.
They've done a good job on the
patching?
Yes, on the cold patches, anyhow. Frankly, because lots of times I see them just disintegrate after a short period of time. But the ones that are between the Four Corners and McCord's, I mean, they've done a great job, and that blends right in. I don't even feel the bumps at all when I drive over them. So I'm not, I mean, it ends down at Dickinson, is that true, the micro seal?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so. Anyhow, yeah, you would know more than me, but anyhow.
Yeah,
But, and I'm not talking about that part because routinely I don't drive it, but I mean, I think the coal patch was a good job, I really do, on the first part of Broadbent anyhow, so.
Did they have a packer?
Because
I mean,
did they buy one?
I don't know, but I'm thinking, you know, when they just throw the coal patch in, it does do nothing, you gotta pack it.
Yeah.
And then it will stay.
Yeah.
And another thing that probably helps is if you, after you put the coal patch in and pack it, and then if you put a thin layer of fine sand on top, then it's not sticking to people's tires and flying up.
Yeah.
And that fine sand helps fill in the crevices. It's a very small additional expense and improves the quality of the work.
But certainly the coal patch there versus the coal patch on the end of Herdville Road towards the eastern end of it, which they patched innumerable times, especially at the top of the hill by the Spence's house that's there. That stuff disintegrates, I think, pretty much every time they do it. And a couple weeks later, they're back doing it again, right? And that's one of the pieces I asked Bob to particularly look at, because I drive over it all the time. And you come over the crest of the hill, and just past the crest, is there's a big patch on the, well, both the eastbound and the westbound side. So, and in the early spring, it was really heaved up by maybe even 12 inches at that one point. So I had called Greg after a couple of those, and I think I got a complaint. Well, I did get a complaint from Jim Marshall, if I remember right, anyhow, complaining about it, and passed that along too, because he said he'd done some damage to his car, which was an expensive car. So I've never heard from him since, and I've left it alone since then. But
like that particular area, I think it came up, if I'm thinking of the right spot, it's boggy, they said. And
yeah.
So it's pretty hard to actually. We had that problem back in Camp Road for years and years until they finally had to go out and dig out the bog on one side, because the road was just a mess in the spring.
Yeah.
Couldn't even travel.
Look, that's what I was saying before. It's like, you know, you got to have a good base.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can spend hundreds of thousands of dollars putting, you know, stuff on top and makes it look good for a year or two. But if you don't have a good base.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Any other particulars? Changes are getting fewer and fewer, I think, aren't they?
That's good, really. I think it's really good.
But I think that, you know, does show, I mean, all of the work that staff has put into it, that we're getting close to the final figures here.
I could bring up the, so we're going to draw from the parkland for the broadband playground equipment. I'm just wondering, once the budget passes, well, then we could possibly look at getting prices then. Maybe swing over to Bob, to, not Bob.
Yeah,
Tom.
Somebody should be looking at.
Yeah, Tom, to look into getting prices on that and what ground preparation would have to be done. Not much. It had a playground before. You know, it's just a case of maybe doing a new boundary and set sand and be ready to go, but that can be one of the side projects.
Okay,
no hurry. It would be a next year.
So you'll be in charge of that?
Sounds good. You know, we talked to Tom about it if he wants me to, but.
No, I think that would be useful, certainly. I mean, you were the catalyst for the park years back, even, so, and led that charge into getting the property and the fencing. And so I think it's, you certainly know in the area and the demographics, who'd be using it, where is the best location for it.
Yeah, that's right. So certainly if he's going to go there and look at it, yeah, it'd be nice if he could always let me know.
There was never play equipment there before?
Yes, it was.
But not to this extent.
Yeah.
No, it was the pressure treated wood, which I believe was all had to be taken. We had that here too at one time.
Yeah.
Volunteers put up a lot of the playground equipment. And so they all were brought down, but then when one broadband was taken down, new ones were never put back up.
Yeah, I think we should get some type of a survey how many people are actually going to use it.
And what they want to see.
And what they want to see, you know, because.
Yeah, we're actually going, the rec committee is actually going to have a family day out there on June 22nd. So if this does get approved, well, then it could be brought up to all these fans. Okay. Council has approved to relocate playground equipment in here. If we had even some samples by then for them to look at and make suggestions, because it'll be a lot of these families I'm hoping will attend with their children, and yeah, the input would be wonderful.
Because I'm just thinking, do the other, you know, beaches or the other parks have adequate playground equipment that may have a greater population using them? You know, because if it's not being used, you know.
Stewart Park, that was the idea that we went with four. We started with two, and then we expanded to four. That was always the idea. So we had certainly not whatever park in here, and then Maplewood, the Silver Birch there, and Stewart Park. So I think those are being used, and I don't know what are the beaches are there, I don't know.
So So Silver Birch has adequate playground equipment there?
Yeah, they have a nice park there.
And at that time too, of course, that's going back a few years, it was I think 20 some thousand for the equipment, and I know we're budgeting 40 because different costs, and I'm not even sure if those companies, I'm sure things have come a long way, but even back then, well, I was part of the recreation at the time, trying to make decisions with these companies, what they offered, and it was quite a difficult decision. What do the kids actually want? I think that's a good idea too, but you know, what do they want to play on? It's quite a difference. And again, the longevity there, it's equipment, these have lasted really well. And they seem to have enough variety, I think, for the kids. That, and I'm not sure if this company still,
this is purely anecdotal, but I will say that when my granddaughter started school 2.5 years ago, she was the only person getting on the school bus at the Four Corners. And now there's 7 kids that got on that same bus in the same immediate area as me. So, I mean, that's, you know, that's a positive sign.
Yep.
I mean, 7 people would not support us spending $40,000 or anything close to that. But I suspect there's more that I don't know that there's anybody that gets on those school buses from Blackwater Lake Road. But, I mean, there's certainly enough traffic going down there and things you'd have to wonder. But, I mean, the easiest way to find out is, I'm sure all of the women who have kids getting on that bus will be there on June the 20th or 22nd, whichever you said.
Yeah.
And all you need to do is ask them, and I'm sure they can fill your ears for a long time. So,
yeah, the bus is, it's actually going up past Broadbent now, the bus. And it's like a full-size bus. It's not like a van or anything anymore. So it's, they're definitely getting the business going down through. And I know of new children being born and Broadbent also that are coming on up, so no, I think it's probably exciting times going forward for the community.
Oh, that's good. And you're putting on a ball game, are you, or something?
I'm gonna try going to the format.
The old timers.
Well, I'm hoping not, but I'm gonna start it off with set up all our rec games we have for kids, and that we set up at the fair and everything. We'll set up out there. And then we're going to have a barbecued lunch for the children and the adults and everything. And then may even try to get the kids into playing t-ball a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then and also advertise it for adult ball game after. So it's kind of be the general format. So, and, of course, people are welcome, not just Broadbent, anywhere, but it most likely to be, we're hoping for mostly Broadbent people show up and give us their input, especially on the playground equipment. So,
Okay, what was it? I'll start recruiting a team there.
It's not absolutely confirmed. June 20th?
June 22nd.
I
just want to make sure that we can justify spending $40,000 on the, because, you know, from my recollection, there was one request for playground equipment out there about 5 years ago, and I think their children have grown up and would be using the playground equipment, so...
I think what Councillor Haskins is saying is good. It's good that you actually survey the people themselves and know what their future plans are and how many people might be out there. So.
Yeah, because we had our day and we start saying, well, this is what we're looking at, and they are all saying, you know, honestly, we won't bring our children here. We have our, and some do. I know they have their own playground, like a lot of parents now, kind of thing. But if they want a community spot, you know, close by that they could all go on, say if they decided to start having pickup ball games on Sunday nights, that's the way it used to be. All the kids would go and play in the equipment, and we had a tower built out of old wood and the ladder was falling apart and everything, so, you know, we may do what we had back then, but there's the basketball court is sitting there still in perfect condition, like 2 steel posts with the basketball, and they're ready too, so it's, no, I think it's, I think it's, we'll find out more on the 22nd, but budget for it, be ready for it. But I'm just saying, and if it looks like, do the preliminary work this year and plan on an install of next year, kind of, for Tom's information.
So I think, to get different ideas of what kind of, climbing wall, zip line, things that someone might go there just for those particular things.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because something that would be a draw to go to that location.
Yeah.
Not,
I know from taking the grandkid to a playground equipment in Perry Sound a couple of weeks ago. They'd like to climb up onto a platform, fight and push, and maybe fall down and hurt themselves.
As long as they do that in Perry Sound.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's right. Go to it. But then, you have the curved slide coming down out of it, or this,
sure.
And things to climb on. So, yeah, I think most will have an idea of what's.
Well, I've taken my grandkids over to Stewart Park to the playground there because there was some decent equipment and everything else, and they liked it. So, and they remember those things and ask on a regular basis, "Can we go to the park?"
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, they always like to go.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, anything else for the budget here? Okay. Well, thanks again for the detail that's there.
Thank you.
And
yeah, thank you.
Resolutions to consider here, I guess.
How many hours you got into this? Did you take a guess? Okay, well, it's a great deal of work, and I appreciate all the time it must take to do it. So,
thank you. So if I do those changes, changing the McKellar Market budget,
yeah,
and whatever the difference is, I will put that number into environmental waste management. You know, they will up those balances. Is that okay? Then overall, there will be no change other than those two.
Yeah, that's good. So
make sense.
The numbers could stay.
Yeah. Okay. So if I do all those changes and put on the next council meeting, is that okay? If you would be approved.
We can't promise.
Unless we change our mind.
We'll see how the vote goes.
This is so much fun, we just like doing it perpetually.
Okay, so the resolution 24-300, moved by Councilor Technet, second by Councilor Zulak, the result of Council of the Corporation and the Township of McKellar. Is hereby rise and report from Committee of the Whole at
3:27
p.m. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Down to 21, bylaws. And resolution 24-301, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Ryan. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2024-41. Being a bylaw to approve the submission of an application to Ontario Infrastructure and Lands Corporation, OILC, for the long-term financing of certain capital works of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar, the municipality, and to authorize the entering into a rate of offer letter agreement pursuant to which the municipality will issue debentures to OILC, the first and second reading, further read a third time and passed in open council the 16th day of May 2024. Discussion?
Could we attach this schedule, the serial debenture schedule, as schedule A to this, just because it gives us the specifics rather than necessarily mentioning them? But I mean, for example, we don't even say how much on here, and I don't think we're attempting to.
Well, it's not public.
Yeah. So I mean, I see no reason not to, and rather than put specific details, just say here are the details, right?
I have no problem unless Roshan thinks change some figures. I don't know. Are those cast in stone sort of thing? Those are the ones we're agreeing to.
But that one doesn't give a detail about how much we budgeted for the specific road.
No.
True.
Over here, they on the Schedule A, they specifically mention estimated.
Sorry, maybe I didn't turn the page, Roshan. No.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Except what?
Okay.
They want to know estimated expenditure, right?
Okay.
So for that road, if you don't put it, then I don't know.
Yeah, but this would specifically tie it to that purpose. This doesn't have a stated usage anyhow.
No.
But certainly we've discussed that. I mean, I'm just more interested in this lays out the amount of the interest rate and the amortization period and the payments, right? And I think that's from a taxpayer's viewpoint, I think that's important. I mean, we can certainly
and again,
talk to that too.
Interest rate is not
Not fixed at this time?
Not fixed as of now.
Okay, well then,
so the,
yeah,
once
okay.
we.
Once we do that.
So the process is that, you know, once we, this bylaw will be part of the initial application. Once they approve that application, then they will send us the new bylaw.
Okay.
Which will, new bylaw will have offer letter.
Okay.
And that has to be passed. So I gave
of
them
the bylaw.
Date. I gave the date of August 1st to have funds.
Okay.
So that bylaw has to be passed middle of July, at least 2 to 3 weeks before the due date of the
okay.
funds.
That's,
so
that's
on 16, by 16th of July, that bylaw which had the offer letter has to be passed.
Yeah, and that'll be much more detailed. So
yeah, that will be give you like, you know, the interest rate, how many periods, and you know how much amount and everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a better answer. That's why we shouldn't put this here. I agree. So. Okay, and then we'll do that with the final.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? Not opposed. Carried. Resolution 24-302, moved by Councilor Beckman, seconded by Councilor Zulak, be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby give bylaw number 2024-07, being a bylaw to set tax ratios for municipal purposes for the year 2024, the first and second reading, and further read a third time and passed in open council the 16th day of May 2024. Discussion? So there's no need to change any of the ratios, the rates, okay. Call the question, all those in favor? Resolution 24-303, moved by Councilor Ryland, seconded by Councilor Hassman. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby give bylaw number 2024-37, being a bylaw to authorize an agreement between the Corporation of the Township of McKellar and RHH Engineering, first and second reading. Further read a third time and passed an open council the 16th day of May 2024. Discussion?
So the
Councilor Beckman?
The bylaw number, has it been adjusted? In,
yes.
Okay, and then
yep.
the previous one that was
yeah.
the 40 is 41?
Yeah, the
okay.
bylaw numbers in the package are incorrect.
Okay.
They're correct on the resolutions and they will be in the minutes.
Okay.
Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 24-304. Question comment period. Yes, related to items on the agenda. Anybody in person or on the Zoom link? Hearing none. Resolution 24-304, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, seconded by Councilor Zulak. Be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2024-42. In the bylaw to confirm the proceedings of council of first and second reading. Further read a third time and passed an open council of the 16th day of May 2024. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. And resolution 24-305, moved by Councilor Paskin, seconded by Councilor Ryland. Be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of Township McKellar adjourn this meeting at
3:34 p.m.
Meet again on May 21st, 2024. Call of the mayor. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Meeting is now adjourned.
Thank you very much, Councilor.
Very good.